As we speak, it's still unclear whether Russia will accept the proposed ceasefire deal with Ukraine. The president, Vladimir Putin, said a number of questions remained about how the temporary truce put forward by the United States would work. Donald Trump's envoy to Moscow, Steve Witkoff, met Mr. Putin late last night. The Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, has described the Russian response as manipulative. Joining us now on the line is Professor Andrew Cotty of the Department of Government and Politics at University College Cork. Good afternoon and thanks for talking to us. How do you interpret Vladimir Putin's response?
Good afternoon. Well, I think this is probably what most observers expected. I think few people thought that the Russians were just going to agree to a ceasefire. So I think probably President Putin is looking at what can he get out of this. So if he were to move to a ceasefire, he's effectively saying he has other conditions. And the question is really, you know, what will those conditions be? How far would they be acceptable to Ukraine? Will the US be able to push Russia and Ukraine towards some kind of compromise? And if we look at that, I mean, some of the obvious ones are NATO membership. You know, would there be some kind of formal ruling out of NATO membership? But some of the more difficult things might be the demilitarization of Ukraine, which Russia will push for. And also President Putin may likely try to push for the removal of President Zelensky as well. So if there is diplomacy, it's going to be very difficult diplomacy over probably a period of weeks and months.
And the NATO issue and the removal of Volodymyr Zelensky, are those what he is likely to have been talking about when he said that the root cause of the war needed to be removed?
Well, I mean, the Russians have always taken the position that a key part of this is NATO, NATO's eastwards enlargement, and in particular their concern that Ukraine would join NATO. I mean, Western observers are often very sceptical of that, and they suggest that the real problem is perhaps President Putin's unwillingness to accept Ukraine's existence as a meaningfully independent state. So there's really a difference of views over all of that. But I think it's worth noting that the Trump administration has made very clear that it won't support Ukraine's membership of NATO. So I think the NATO issue probably isn't the biggest issue. The real issues are probably will Ukraine be able to defend itself? What happens in terms of Ukrainian domestic politics? To what extent will there be Russian influence over Ukraine and so on?
So as of this afternoon, then, the question remains as to whether Mr. Putin is serious about wanting peace.
Absolutely. I mean, from one perspective, some people think that the Russians and President Putin perhaps believe that they're in the driving seat, that they're now in a stronger position militarily and that they can try and make progress with the war, in which case the Russians may have relatively little interest in a ceasefire. On the other hand, if you look at the situation on the ground, despite Ukraine's problems, you know, Russia is only inching forward inch by inch at a very large cost in terms of human lives, weapon systems and so on. So it's really still unclear what President Putin wants and what President Putin's position is. And perhaps we can think about this as a kind of holding position as the Russians try and work this out and the Americans and the Ukrainians try to assess the Russian position.
Donald Trump, of course, has insisted that Russia does want peace, but there are interesting reports coming out of the United States today about sanctions being toughened on Russian oil, gas and banking.
Yes, I think it's very interesting to note that in general, President Trump has had what one could call a relatively trusting perspective on President Putin. He seems to be willing to trust President Putin. But at the same time, President Trump is known, you know, for the art of the deal. His whole approach is bargaining. And if he can use something to put pressure on Russia, then he may do that. I mean, one thing I think that's worth noting is that, you know, there's relatively little trade now, of course, between the United States or between Europe and Russia. So the extent that the US or Europe can put additional economic pressure through tariffs or sanctions or whatever it might be on Russia may perhaps be rather limited.
So what should we be watching out for then in the hours and days ahead?
Well, I think one of the things to think about is that if negotiations do break down, one of the questions would be who would be blamed. So, for instance, if the negotiations break down and Russia is blamed, then the US may be more willing to put pressure on Russia. On the other hand, if the negotiations break down And Ukraine is blamed, and we could see Russia and the US returning to cutting off military assistance and intelligence to Ukraine. But I think this isn't going to be a quick development. This is something that's going to play out over days, weeks, maybe even months, and we'll see much more diplomatic back and forth in the various contexts over the coming days and weeks, at least, and perhaps even months.
It's all very uncertain, isn't it? And a long way from Donald Trump's position when he said that this could all be sorted out in a relatively short space of time.
Exactly. I mean, listeners might recall that before he actually took up the presidency for the second time, you know, Mr. Trump said that he'd be able to resolve this on day one. And clearly that hasn't been the case. I think one of the things is, at what point does President Trump effectively give up in a huff? Does he decide that it's going nowhere and he's better investing his time elsewhere? But for the moment, it seems to be important enough to President Trump and the Trump administration more broadly that they're investing significant time, significant diplomatic effort in all of this. So they're trying to nudge this forward. The bit we don't know is whether they can come to the kind of compromise which would result in a ceasefire and perhaps a longer-term peace agreement.
Professor Andrew Cotty of UCC, thank you very much for talking to us this lunchtime.